Well, guys, as we step into a new year, we always come in with good intentions. And I was reading an article that, why is January the start of a new year? Because we're in the middle of the winter when everything's dying. So why, you know, it's spring, we think of new life and we think of all of these things. And as I read the title, I read about the first couple sentences, I said, man, I'm not even going to read it because it was depressing. Because I wanted to enter into the new year kind of with a fresh start, right? I think that's what Jason was talking about last week, the morning after. What are you going to do? You know, when Jesus is cooking the disciples breakfast. We set new goals. We set new habits. We set new commitments. I work out at a gym. And it's funny because as the gym starts, you can't hardly get to a machine in January. Well, I take that back. For the first 2 weeks in January, you can hardly get to a machine. You got to sit there and wait. But then after that second or third week in January, it's kind of back to normal. People have given up on what my goals are for the year. Some of us may be thinking, you know, this year I'm going to be more disciplined. I'm going to open up my Bible more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to learn more about what Christ has for me. Some are saying, you know, this is the year I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm afraid to do this, but I think God is telling me to start a small group. And I'm just going to invite people to my home. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to see what happens. Some people are saying, like, you know what? I'm going to do more for God this year. I'm going to get off of the bench. I'm going to get in the game, and I'm going to do more stuff for God. But before we talk about doing more, God wants to talk about us being rooted, because life that's not deeply rooted will not last under pressure. And as we begin 2026, God's inviting us not to start with activity, but to start with identity. And so that's where I want to go today. We're going to talk about not starting necessarily with activities, but with identity. I have some pictures that I want to show you about roots somewhere. Okay, there's the first one. You see the flower, the sunflower, and you see the root system. We always focus on the sunflower, and we think, oh, that's beautiful. And some people got like, oh, my flowers don't look so good. It's because maybe you're like me. You know, I don't have a green thumb. Mine's more like a gray thumb. I help plants transition to a better place. Not on purpose, but that's what tends to happen. But you see, you have to have a root system. The next, you see, for the trees, underneath the ground is more important than the fruit that we see on top. We always look at the top and say, oh, that's a healthy tree. Oh, that's a whatever. And that's a healthy plant, whatever. It's the root system that's important. Because I also had a lot of pine trees in my yard, and this is not a picture of a pine tree, but show this next picture, Tony. This is what happened when you have shallow roots and the winds blow and the storms come. And the same thing with our lives. If our lives are not based on our root system, and it's what we look like and how we act, you're going to fall. You're going to not prosper. A life has to be planted. Your strength has to come from your faith. And you have to have a heart that's overflowing. I want to read this passage from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this: as you have put your trust in Christ Jesus the Lord to save you from the punishment of sin, now let him lead you in every step. Have your roots planted deep in Christ. Grow in him. Get your strength from him. Let him make you strong in your faith as you have been taught, and your life should be full thanks to him. Paul gives us a picture here of being planted. He is saying your life has to be planted. You have to have strong roots. You have to have a strong foundation. Jesus put it this way. Some people built a house on the sand. When the storms came and the winds came, what happened? Boom, they were gone. But the person that built their house on the rock, it stayed strong. In elementary school, we talked about the three little pigs. First one built his house out of what? Straw. What happened when the big bad wolf came and huffed and puffed? It was gone. Ate him up. The second one built his house out of sticks. Now, why a log cabin may be strong, it wasn't built maybe on the rock. And what happened when the big bad wolf came and huffed and puffed? Boom, it was gone. But the third one built it strong on the rock with the bricks. And the big bad wolf huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed. Finally, they went outside and skinned him alive. Well, at least in my elementary school, they did. I don't know. But anyway, you get the picture. We could go around in our own strength and say, like, you know, hey, this year I'm going to be better. You know, I know a lot of people that are good people. But the minute something happens in their life that knocks them out of that, they are no longer good people. They let the life's situations determine how they're going to respond and how they're going to react. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he talks about the peace that he gives us is a peace that the world doesn't understand. So that in the midst of your grief, in the midst of a bad diagnosis, in the midst of whatever hellacious thing is going on in your life, you're able to stand strong and firm because it's not about you. It's about whose you are, and he is carrying you through. Everything flows from being rooted in Christ. I'm in a series, and we're going to be talking about being rooted. I did this. I did a series on being rooted, and I kind of focused on being rooted in Christ, and I'm going to kind of hit on that today, but we're going to talk about being rooted in the Word. And if you've been studying the Word for you today, the last 3 days have been what? Get into the Word. We're going to talk about being rooted in prayer, how prayer is important. When Jesus emptied the temple, he said, my house will be a house of prayer. We need to be better prayers, y'all. It doesn't matter if you can't come on a Tuesday night. You better be praying in your car. You better be praying at home. You better be praying over your family. You better be praying. Because if you're not praying, you're playing. And eventually the game is going to catch up with you and you won't have anything to stand on. It's amazing to me that people that are say, like, well, you know what? You can go your own way. You can do your own thing. You believe what you want to believe. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. But you know what? The minute something happens in their life, who do they turn to? Who do they turn to? I'll tell you who they turn to. I get phone calls from some of my students that say, like, you know, I don't know if I believe all that. Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that. But the minute something happens in their life, the minute something goes on, who do they call? They're calling me. Hey, are you still a pastor? I'm like, well, some people would argue with you and say no, but yes, I've got the title. And said, well, Dr. Cook, will you pray for me? It's like, yeah, I will pray for you, but I'll pray with you right now. Well, I don't know how to pray because it's never been on my radar. But right now, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. It's because we don't have roots. We're going to talk about roots in community. We're going to talk about roots in obedience. And we're going to talk about the whole idea of having these roots is so that we can bear fruit. Strong roots will bear good fruit. And so everything flows from being rooted in Christ. You don't grow spiritually by trying harder. And I've spent almost my whole life trying to do that. Well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. You know what? We got to start this. Oh, we got to do this. Until you burn out because you're trying to do stuff in your own strength and not being rooted to Christ and letting him tell you what's going on. Before God can work through me, he has to work in me. And it takes me a while to get there. I'm stubborn. I know most of you don't believe that, but I am. So Paul says this, and point number one, how you begin is how you grow. How you begin is how you grow. Paul says this, as you have put your trust in Christ Jesus the Lord. So I want you to ask yourself the question, when I first came to this knowledge of Jesus, when I first asked Jesus into my life, how did you receive Christ? Did you receive him by effort? Is it something you did so you walked down the aisle or you were in your car or whatever and you gave your life to Christ? Was it something you did and you said, you know what, now I'm ready? No, it's not on your effort. It wasn't by your performance. Jesus didn't look down and say, whoo, what a good performer you are. I want you in my kingdom. It wasn't anything to do with your performance or what you thought you were doing. It wasn't anything that you earned. It was a free gift that was given to you by a God that loves you so much that he said, you know what? I'm going to give you the most precious thing to me. I'm going to allow my son to be brutally murdered and shamed and ridiculed for you so you don't have to be. We received grace from God, amazing grace. We received it through faith in his word. and we surrendered our lives to him. Yet many believers, we start with that grace and surrender and faith, but then we try to grow on our own effort. I'm going to read the Bible in the whole year. In fact, I'm going to read it twice in the year, so I'm going to read twice as much because I just want to be filled all the time. And you start out strong until you get to Deuteronomy or Leviticus, and you just go like, you start scratching your head going like, he said, she said, what, you know? I know I'm saved by grace, but now I need to get serious. We say that. I need to do more. I need to be better. I need to try harder. And we try that. But Paul says, no, continue to live your lives in him. The same way that you began is the same way that you grow. Grace brought you in. Faith brought you in. And grace and faith will carry you forward. God, I don't know why this is happening to me, but I know it's in your hand. And that's tough to say because we can't control everything. Number two, roots are hidden. They're in the ground. Roots are hidden, but the roots determine everything. Paul uses the word rooted. Roots grow underground. No one ever says, roots, roots. No, we want the sunflower. We want the fruit. We want the vegetables. We don't really pay attention to the roots, what's going on under the ground, because no one sees it. But the roots are what determine the stability, if it's going to last. It's going to determine the growth. It's going to determine the fruitfulness. And you can look healthy on the surface, and you still could be dying underneath. And that's what a shallow faith looks like. Well, you know, I prayed to God that this would happen, and it didn't happen. So you know what? I don't want any part of that. That's shallow roots. You have no roots. You have nothing to hold on to. You're just like chaff in the wind. You're going to blow with whatever philosophy, whatever idea comes along. You have nothing. You have nothing. A shallow faith may look fine on one day. Look at me. But it won't survive suffering. It won't survive any temptation. It won't survive disappointment in your life. It won't last when there's pressure. When I went to college for the first time, I went to a Methodist, quote, Methodist college that we weren't really religious. It was basically a college. And we were there, and we had our different groups. We had the Baptist Student Union. We had the Christian Fellowship. We had the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We had all of the things that you're supposed to have at a religious school. But one of the guys that everybody seemed to kind of gravitate towards, he was a confessed Buddhist. I don't want anything to do with religion. I'm a Buddhist. Like, okay. At that point, I didn't even know what that meant, because the only Buddhist I ever saw was like at the Golden Buddha, and it was a fat guy that sat like this, and you rubbed his belly when you went in to get all you can eat. I didn't know anything about Buddha. So I read about that. You know what it means? Nothing. Literally nothing. That there's nothing. You came from nothing. You're going to nothing. There's nothing there. Just whatever happens, happens. We've been seeing on the news a bunch of monks that have been walking around the United States. They even walked through Fayetteville, and they walked through Georgia, and they're walking for peace. And we see on the cameras, everybody's like, oh, you guys are awesome, and you guys are peace. And well, that's what we want. We want peace. We want love. We want peace. We want love, and we want peace. But you know what? We're human. We're human. You're not going to have love. You're not going to have peace. You know why? Because we're selfish. We're self-centered. Yeah, we want peace as long as it affects us. And so all of these people are saying like, oh, yeah. But you know what? They have nothing. They have nothing. We could get on a soapbox and say, hey, we need love. We need peace. And I would say all of us agree with that. We need love and we need peace. But you know what? How's it going to happen? Is it going to happen on your efforts? No. Is it going to happen on just because we're all, you know, we're just all going to get in a big circle and sing Kumbaya holding hands? No. It only happens when we are rooted to the Prince of Peace, the God of love. Then we can know real peace and real joy and real love. Remain, abide, stay connected. That's the third point. Abiding comes before fruit. Jesus says in John 15, he says, remain in me, because apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Well, you know, what about this? I did this. I built this. I built this.
You know what? It doesn't stand. There was a poem that we studied in literature about Ozymandias, and it was this great King Ozymandias, and someone comes up upon the fallen, just remains, nothing there, and says, the whole world fear because Ozymandias, I am King Ozymandias, and it's like, no one even knows who you are, dude. That's how fleeting your life is if it's not built on anything that's eternal. Notice what he doesn't say in John 15. He doesn't say, you know what? Work harder, because apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say, hey, try a little more. Be impressive. He doesn't say any of that. He says to abide, to remain, to stay connected, because fruit is the result. It's not the requirement. If you focus on the fruit, you're going to burn out. You know how I know? Because I have been trying to plant stuff for the last several years. I go to Kathy, and I say, Kathy, I want to grow this. And she just looks at me like, oh, here we go again. I planted, we grow stuff. The thing that we grow the most of is tomatoes. We have no trouble growing tomatoes or those hottest peppers in the world, whatever those things were. I after the first one, I pulled the plant up, and it still kept growing. I pulled it up, threw it away, and I mean, it's the hottest pepper on the planet, and it kept growing on its own. It's like the devil's plant. It was like, stay away from that. But we have no problem growing those things. But I planted some carrots, and I told you about my story. Little tiny seeds, and I didn't mean to stick them all there. I don't know if it choked them all out, but right now I got weeds. No carrots, nothing. So I didn't get any winter fruit this year. So I'm waiting on Howard to go through his garden and bring me some of his stuff. But the idea is that we have to understand what's going on. If we focus on the fruit, we get burned out. Dang, carrots won't grow. I even tried radishes. They say that's the easiest thing in the world to grow. I couldn't even grow radishes. It's like crazy. Margie just looks at me like, the same thing as Kathy. Here we go again. Fruit is the result. It's not the requirement. If you focus on the roots, if you focus on good seeds, if you focus on all of that stuff, fruit will come. Because we don't live for Christ, we live from Christ. And the fourth thing, identity comes before our activity. Many believers will ask, you know, what should I be doing for God? And that's a natural response. When we first come to Jesus, we're filled with this excitement. We want to go out and save the world. What can I do? I want everybody to feel this joy that I have. I want everybody to experience what I'm experiencing. And we're filled with this. But the scripture answers first, who are you in Christ? I threw the invitation out there. You came to me. But who are you in me is what Jesus is saying. Well, I'll tell you who you are. You are loved before you perform. He loved you, even when you were far from him, even when you had your own idea of what religion was or what your faith stance would be. He still loved you, and he put up with you. He put up with me. The second thing, we were accepted before we ever achieved anything. He accepted us and wanted us to be part of his family to say, like, you know what? I accept you as you are. Now let's be different together. And you were chosen before you produced anything. I mean, what did you bring to the table? Nothing. Your own sinful self. When our identity is secure in Christ, then obedience becomes joyful. It doesn't become something that you have to do. I shared with Sandra this morning. I said, man, I'm doing 3 different devotions now because, man, it's a new year, and I'm going to start strong. I don't know how long it's going to last. I'll be transparent with you. But I do the Bible recap at night. I do our word for you today in the morning. And then right after that, as I'm going somewhere, I've got 25 minutes of Nikki Gumbel doing the Bible in a Year. And so, man, I'm just listening constantly to God's Word. I'm trying to fill myself with God's Word. And trying to be obedient that way is something that I want to do, and I'm having joy doing it. It's not something that I feel like I have to do. And then my serving becomes then life-giving. How can I serve you? How can I help you? It becomes something that I look forward to. And then the mission begins to overflow. But when my identity is shaky, when we're shaken and our roots are not strong, then ministry, the things that I'm doing, becomes pressure. And I feel pressure, and I feel burned out, and I feel like, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Faith even becomes exhausting. Gosh, it's hard to have faith when everybody around you is, you know, not doing anything and doesn't seem to care, and our world is just going down the tubes. And what happens then? Guilt becomes my motivator. Well, I guess I better do it. What's the thing that I've heard before? It's like, you know, I was just laying in bed and I said, man, I am just too tired. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like going. People don't like me anyway. I don't know what I'm going to do. And Margie says, no, you got to go because you're the pastor. You know, it's like, ugh, what do you do? God doesn't want your effort. God wants your heart. God wants your life. So how does this apply to us? Well, we start the year by receiving again. I love the fact that the very first Sunday in January, we come to the table again. And Paul says, just as you received Christ, some of us need to receive Christ again, to receive His grace, to receive His forgiveness, to receive His presence, not because you lost your salvation, but because you've been living life disconnected from the vine. You've been busy, but not abiding. You've been faithful, but you've been fatigued and worn out. You've been active, but you haven't been anchored. So what I want to do is invite you into a daily practice. Each morning, just say this simple prayer. Jesus, I receive you again today. I wish I could say I came up with this, but I didn't. John Eldridge came up with this, and he says this, Jesus, I receive you again today. I depend on you, I remain in you, and help me live from you. Just a short, simple prayer, not long, not fancy, but rooted. Thank you for today. I receive you again today. So as we begin this new year here, I want you to imagine Three Point Bible Church as not frantic, but a faithful fellowship. Not a shallow church that just goes along with any philosophy that goes on, but a church that is deeply rooted in God's Word and not burned out, but a church that's bearing fruit because deep roots produce lasting fruit. This year, we're not chasing after more. We're growing deeper. And that's my thing for this year. Last year it was community. This year we're growing deeper. We're going to grow deeper in our relationships with each other. We're going to grow deeper in His Word. We're going to grow deeper in all of that because that's what God wants from us. Father, we don't want to just do things for you. We want to be rooted in you. So grow us deep this year so that you can use us fully. Father, we receive you again today. And we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.